You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Shomer.
Hello, Dr. Shomer. Are you well?
I'm very well. I hope you too.
I am. You got out of bed this morning. That's a good sign.
That's a very good sign. Some motivation still residing within you. Now, come on. You are motivated like very few of us. It's wonderful. This what do we call this? I mean, we're living through an enormously interesting time, and I like what you said just now about using language in clarity.
Yes.
Stealing. Now we're going to talk about motivating. What is it? Well, we can simply call it, it's that force that initiates us and guides us and maintains goal-oriented behavior. That already is a mouthful.
Mm.
You know that you're born with biological factors that motivate you. Once you're educated, you have social factors that keep you going. Then once you fall in love, there are emotional ones. And of course, once you become an intellectual, we are driven by cognitive ones.
Mm.
We can look at motivation in so many ways, from instinctual theory, right, to drive theory, to humanistic stuff. We can go through each and every one of them. None of them is exclusive. None of them has the whole thing to explain us.
Yeah.
So, yes, you and I know we are not exactly birds born with a seasonal migration pattern, correct?
Mm.
And we don't attach to the first thing that's moving, like a duck. So we are a little bit more complex. So attachment, play, anger, fear, yes, they are there. But we might be motivated by external rewards. We might be motivated to reduce tension within us. We might even be motivated to regulate our internal balance and state and emotions.
Mm.
And of course, we can get complex and talk about the full potential of what we are as complex, amazingly emotional, cognitive beings. But have you heard about the expectancy theory?
No. What is it?
It says that we think about the future, you and I and our good listeners. We think about the future, and by that process, in that process, with that process, we formulate different expectations about what will happen in our life. Now, when we can predict a likely positive outcome and we believe we are able to make that possible future a reality, we are becoming motivated to do that whatever is necessary.
Hmm.
So there are three factors walking into that and explains us quite well. The first thing is valence, which means do we value the outcome that is likely going to happen? So if you already have 5 Jaguars, you don't need the 7th, I hope. The second one is instrumentality. Do you or have you got a role to play in predicting the outcome? So a random thing or a thing out of your personal control doesn't motivate you. But somewhere where you play a major role motivates you much better. The third one is expectancy. Do you, Eusebius, Dr. Shomer, our listeners, do you have the belief that you have the capacity and the capability to produce the outcome?
Mm.
And if you have, you are motivated. So what am I saying to our listeners? If people feel they are lacking the skills and the knowledge to achieve a desired outcome, they are lacking motivation, they're not going to get going.
Mm.
That is the problem.
20 minutes before noon, resident shrink Dr. Helgo Shomer, and we're talking about the very important question, how to stay motivated in everyday life. Give us a call. Are you struggling to get out of bed in the morning? What do you think is going on? Just voice with us. Voice for us your experiences, your worries, and the good doctor, as always, will try and give as much help as possible. 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg, and Cape Tonians, 021-446-0567. We'd love to hear from you. Do you struggle to motivate yourself to get up in the morning? It's interesting, Dr. Shomer, that you talk about, for example, the skills, the toolkit required to achieve goals. I always thought, but you, the professional, that the bigger group of people who struggle with motivation, before we even talk about whether they have the toolkit with which to achieve their goals, probably don't have a sense of living. You know, it's deeply subjective, but they haven't figured out what their goals are. They don't have deep motivation relative to a sense of purpose.
Yes, you're putting your finger on something that is essential we haven't mentioned, and that is really the meaningfulness of that process.
Mm.
It is the most stunning investment and the most wonderful return. You and I know it. Education. When we have somebody who knows the full complexity of life and the full plethora of activities and how human beings interact with each other, about each other in the environment, we have a much bigger chance of motivating them than keeping them in a township, not giving them education, not giving them a chance, not showing them that there is actually a horizon.
How do you keep motivated as Dr. Shomer?
Oh, I love humanity, number one. Number two, I love my job. I think I'm extremely privileged to be able to and allowed to help human beings. And I had incredible examples from my brother, my sister, my father, my mother, from the education of various cultures, from Europe to Africa, seeing so many different ones. This is a part of an education. That's why, for instance, I think it's highly important, if the parents can afford it, give your child a gap year, let the child travel the world and see how different cultures do what and how different people get motivated to plant the rice field, gather the crop, climb a mountain. Here is a good one, or climb the mountain. Now, isn't it stunning that human beings climb mountains in the snow-capped areas of the world, which are cold, miserable, dangerous, and yet we climb them?
Absolutely.
Now, please explain this to me. Why would we expose ourselves to cold, misery, agony, and physical punishment where we could be at the beach drinking cocktails?
Good question. Let's go to the lines. We've got Dolores calling us. Hello, Dolores. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to ask the doctor, you know, I have started off with an ailment where it was the blood pressure, then it was this, then it was that. Last month I went into hospital, I had a severe anxiety attack. So they just keep putting me on more and more medication. So now they put me on new blood pressure medication, which isn't working for me. And, you know, I can't get out of bed. It makes me, I don't know, it just makes me more tired. I have palpitations. And I'm trying so hard to motivate myself. I'm always motivating other people. But when it comes to myself at the moment, I would just like to lie in a quiet corner and peacefully just slip away.
Dr. Shomer?
That's a heavy one, Dolores. Dolores, here's a wonderful thing. You phoned in. You are still motivated. You are still motivated to interact. You're still motivated to share. You're still motivated to hear, is there possibly a solution to my vexing problem that I haven't seen or heard? I know we get tired, we get worn out, we get trodden on, and you sound as if you are just about at the end of your tether.
I am. Spiritually, I'm helping everybody else. You know, I go out, I do for others, do for whoever needs my help. But at this time and stage, you know, I really just feel like lying in a corner, covering myself, and not ever getting up again. And I know it is dangerous because I'm going into deep depression.
What you're saying, but Dolores, you are not empty. Otherwise, you would not be talking to me. Don't do this. You're giving humanity something stunning. You're interacting with other human beings to let them feel it's worthwhile carrying on. So you sound empty. You sound burned out. You need to rest now. You need to call on favors. You need to pamper yourself a little bit to come back to life. Please, Dolores, you are not at the end of it.
I'll try, but everybody expects, you know, I have this facade I put on, and they think that I can do everything. You do go away for a bit, you come back, you come right back to all the very same.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. What is wonderful about what you've just said is that none of us are immune from this. Everyone has their limits, and I would love to teach Dolores to learn to say no.
How do I get hold of you?
My website. Go to drshomer.com. Please do it. Dolores, you are not done.
Thank you, Dolores. Yeah, do have a look at Dr. Shomer's website. It's heartbreaking, isn't it, Dr. Shomer? I mean,
yes,
it's double-edged because on the one hand, like you said, so affirmingly and so appropriately, she's calling in, so she hasn't given up. And the other side of the coin is that in her life, there's already the material from which to use as a basis for feeling that your life has meaning.
Yes.
Why is Dolores not seeing that, do you think?
When we are empty, it goes for Eusebius, goes for Dr. Shoma, goes for Dolores. When we are empty, we only see the negative. When we are empty, we only see the dark side. When we are empty, there is no horizon. We are not, what I'm trying to teach people, do not go into this empty state and think it's normal. When we are empty, the devils come out. When we are empty, the demons come out. When we are empty, we don't talk nice to ourselves. When we are empty, we see only dark.
Yes.
That is dangerous.
Okay, we've got Anne-Claire, Jenny and Rebecca on the line. Let's take a quick break and then we're going to try and hear their stories and Dr. Shoma will give some advice.
702 and Cape Talk, Dr. Shoma.
Let's go back to the lines, Dr. Shoma, and speak to Anne-Claire in Sandton. Hello, Anne-Claire.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for calling in. Go ahead, the doctor's listening.
Oh, my story. Okay, I lost my mom and my brother, and I've got two major races coming up, which is Comrades and Two Oceans. Every year during Comrades, they are always at Camptown, at Drummond, at Injanga, everywhere. So now I feel so empty. How am I going to conquer this without me seeing them in all the milestones? Because I know at Pinetown I'll find them. At Drummond I'll find them. At Njanga I'll find them. Up until Kloof, Pinetown, and at the finish line. So I don't know.
Are you telling, Anthony, are you telling me you are racing Comrades in Two Oceans?
Yes.
Wonderful. You know how you conquer a mountain? One step at a time. You've got to learn to talk to yourself gently and beautifully during the race. Your thoughts set tone in which you run the race. So do not say, I can't, or I'm finished. No, wonderful, I made another step. Oh, look at that, look at the spectators. Somebody's clapping, looking at me. I can do this, I've done this before. You've got to praise your muscles. You've got to tell them, wow, you're singing, you're warm, you're going forward. You don't talk in a negative way to your body or your mind, and you will make it past Drummond, and you will make it up to the finish line. Gentle, one step at a time.
Oh, my goodness. I hope I can carry that spirit, because as it is now, Two Oceans is just here. I'm thinking, how am I going to get to UCT thing at the ground?
Come right before, haven't you?
I've done it before.
Many times. How many times?
Okay, I'm going to get my ninth comrade, and my Two Oceans is going to be my 11th.
You're a star. You are already a star. Look what you've done. You base your thoughts on your past performance. Maybe we get a little older. It happens to us. Maybe we didn't get in all the training this year. Maybe it is not falling in place just the way you felt the year before or 10 years ago. But you made it. So go a little bit slower, but you're going to get to the finish line.
I think I'm a bit down, because even Om to Dam, I registered for 50, but at the 11th hour, I registered. I'm now doing 21, because I don't know how am I going to pass all the miles.
I would like Eusebius to play a drum roll for you now. Thank you, because you've done it before, you can do it again. Go for it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Claire. Let's go to Tuan. Hello, Jenny.
Hello. Yes, I'd like to ask what role you think that laziness plays in demotivation.
Are you lazy, because, Jenny?
am I lazy? No, I'm not actually. But I read a book a very long while ago, The Road Less Traveled, and the author suggested that at the root of all evil is laziness, and that people who are deliberately lazy are not only motivated to do things that will ensure that their comfort and status quo is maintained, but they are driven to get power over others by, you know, in order to control their own circumstances. So that underneath everything, all this sort of evilness and the stuff that goes on in companies where people sit and talk behind other people's backs and scheme and all of that, is the fact that they don't actually want to do their jobs for the good of the company or the good of all the people in the company or the good of the nation as a whole. The fact is that they want their own nest feathered, and they want to be lazy and comfortable as much as they can be.
Thank you, Jenny. Jeez, I haven't thought of that book in ages.
You're talking about the me. I'm going to achieve it without having to invest any initiative and effort. I do not know how this human being arrived at the laziness, but I would examine their past, their childhood, how they were taught that they can get away with this. And I tell you, you're going to discover that at particular points, this changed, that they found power in not doing instead of in engaging. Have you ever heard about the IKEA effect, Eusebius?
No.
Jenny? It's stunning. You know, IKEA is a furniture success in the world. And it happens with everything that we do. For instance, it happens with cake mix. If you buy a cake mix in which you don't have to participate in any way, meaning all the ingredients are in there, you just chuck it in and bang, there's a cake. You won't like the cake. You've got to have a cake mix that you buy, makes your life easier, yet you have to do something. Add eggs, add milk, beat it up, and put it in the oven. As long as we participate in it, we are still carrying on against the laziness. So the furniture that you buy in IKEA, in a box, and you put it together with your own effort and initiative, is loved more than the furniture that's delivered complete.
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Let's squeeze in one last call. We've got Rebecca who's been waiting in Newlands. How's it, Rebecca?
I'm well, and you?
Very good. What's your question for Dr. Shoma?
I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment.
That's fine, yeah.
With motivation, what I've learned over the years is whatever I do, I need to, just like the doctor said, I need to talk to myself and always question myself. Is this thing that I'm doing right now, is it moving me forward to forward towards what I want? Or,
wonderful.
Or look at my thoughts, like this morning, for instance, I'm busy with the event on Saturday, and the numbers are not coming through the way it should. Then I had to go back and ask myself, am I going to achieve my goal? My goal is to empower
you. Are clearly goal-directed. It's wonderful. What you're saying is so fantastic. Your mind dictates the atmosphere, the emotion, the milieu in which your thoughts happen, and you're keeping it forward-looking and positive. Wonderful. Do you see this? Can I invite the Capetonians? If you're in Cape Town, Dolores and co, come to my talk on Thursday evening. We're going to talk about the whys and wherefores of your actions. It's at the Philosophy Center in Sea Point. Go on my website, drshoma.com, and all the details are there. I would love to share with you if you're struggling. It's going to be fun.
Beautiful stuff. Dr. Shoma, thank you so much for your insights.
Always. Till next week. Ciao, ciao.
Cheers.